flower farmers, are you looking to connect with florists who truly appreciate the beauty of locally grown blooms? And florists, do you wish you had access to fresh, high-quality flowers straight from the farm? Well, I have the perfect solution for you, farmerstoflorist.com. It is the ultimate marketplace designed to bring flower farmers and florists together in one easy platform. So as a farmer, you can showcase your seasonal availability. You can connect with florists. You can get your name out there. You get listed in the directory, and you can sell your flowers at premium prices without a middleman. And as a florist, you can get access to farm fresh, locally grown blooms that your customers will love. And these are going to be vetted farmers. These are going to be farmers that understand the quality that you need, and they're not going to just try to sell you 5 gallon buckets of whatever they have going on. So, no more scrambling to find the perfect flowers last minute. I would love for you guys to check out the link in the episode notes, get signed up. We are still offering a special if it is available. The first 20 farmers to sign up for this platform get the setup fee waived, so you just have to pay the monthly premium. There is an entire episode explaining this, but go ahead, click the link, reach out to me if you have questions, and let me know what you need. Thanks. Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today we're going to talk about ranunculus. So lessons, challenges, future plans. They are gorgeous, but they can be a huge challenge, especially in colder climates like mine in zone 4B. This is my third season growing them, and I have learned a lot about them over the years, and I'm excited to share what's worked, what hasn't, and what I plan on tweaking next season. So first of all, I want to share that you can go back to June 2023 and hear the very first ranunculus experiment. When I grew them for the first time, I recap everything that I did. I pre-sprouted the corms in individual cell trays. I watered them carefully, you know, didn't get them too wet. And I let the foliage get about 2 inches tall under grow lights. I started those, I think it was around March 1st that I soaked them, planted them in the cell trays. And then around March 20th, I planted them in the ground inside of my high tunnel. They bloomed about May 20th and lasted about 6 weeks. I sold every single stem, and looking back, I probably got lucky because it was such a cool spring that year, but that's how I started my ranunculus journey. And then I think year two, I got a little cocky. I decided to save all of those corms from the first season. So I let them die back naturally. The foliage turned yellow. And then around mid-July, I picked them out of the ground, cut off, trimmed off all of the dead leaves, and then the dried up corms I just threw in a cardboard box, put in a cool space in the garage, and left them there until like October. That October, I soaked them and put them directly in the ground. And I think that that could have worked okay had I not got greedy. So I decided to break them up and multiply my stock. So I planted them directly in the ground around, like I said, mid-October. And then by mid-December, they were probably about 2 inches tall. So at that point, I think I covered them with a single layer of frost cloth in December, just kept an eye on the temperature. If it got below 25 at night, I was going to cover them, which in December it definitely does. So I just had that single layer of frost cloth on them inside of the single layer high tunnel. And then in January, I added some rebar, some plastic hoops, and a low tunnel of plastic for extra protection. So by then they were probably 3 inches tall and they just stayed like that. And I hadn't watered them since probably early December when we had a pretty, you know, sunny stretch in there. But otherwise they just kind of stayed there dormant, didn't move, didn't grow. So then on February 1st, the other half of my high tunnel, I soaked brand new corms that I bought and put them directly in the soil because I didn't want to touch them twice. So by the time everything was in bloom, the overwintered ones bloomed around May 10th. And the February planted ones bloomed around May 20th. So for an extra 10 days, I had to do all of that babying from October to February 1st. So I don't think that that was worth it from that standpoint for that extra 10 days, especially because, like I said, I got a little greedy. I divided up the ones that I saved, not realizing that, yes, I'm getting more ranunculus, but they're not great quality. They're tiny extra corms. It's kind of like a gladiola bulb, you know, the side ones that you get, those tiny ones, they're going to have a tiny stem. Like you need the bigger corms that are a couple years older. And so it was just fail, but they were just 6-inch stems. They were not usable. And then in addition, what I think went wrong, the ones that I planted February 1st directly in the soil that year, the soil temperature was probably around 40 degrees. And so they really didn't take off pre-sprouting. So all of February, all of March, all of April, I thought I'd have them by May 1st. They just kind of stayed there dormant. So it took almost 100 and what would that be? 120 days to bloom instead of 90. And so I ultimately still sold every single stem, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to change it up a little bit this year. So this year, I decided to pre-sprout them. Instead of individual cell trays, I put them in the bottom tray, that solid tray that the cell tray sits in. I put a layer of moist soil, dumped about 180 corms in each tray so that they're touching, but they're not layered on top of each other. They're just touching. It's like a thin layer of them. And then I placed more moist soil on top of it. And I did that for about 2 weeks, just enough to get the roots and tiny shoots going. And then March 1st this year, I transplanted all of them into an entire high tunnel. So today, you know, it's March 14th. I have about a third of them have emerged out of the ground. The rest will continue popping up over the next few weeks. I'm keeping the tunnel warmer right now. It's about 70 degrees in there during the day, which if the ranunculus were farther along, I definitely wouldn't want to do that because I don't want them to go dormant or think that, you know, it's the heat of the season. But right now, I'm still just trying to warm up the soil temperature so that they sprout and get them all out of the ground. And then I'll keep it, you know, between 40 and 60 so they can just be their cool flowers that they like to grow. But I'm just trying to get them up out of the ground. And so I've had to use frost cloth. I've had to do that pretty carefully. But that's what I'm trying this year because I really don't need a lot of ranunculus until that last week of May. And I need them solid for about 3 weeks from that last week of May and those first couple weeks of June. They last really long in the cooler. I have a lot of weddings this June that I'm doing flowers for. One of them is just white, a couple of them are blush pink and white, and then the rest are multicolored. So I planted white, blush pink, hot pink, lemon yellow, and I have a purple jean variety and a salmon. So those are the colors of ranunculus that I have this year because I know that I need more of those rainbow colors in June. And so that's the route that I decided to take for this year rather than doing a bunch of ranunculus subscriptions. I'll have so many tulips still. And then the ranunculus that I do have for subscriptions, I'm just mixing in with deluxe bouquets. Those are going to be $40 bouquets for that subscription because they have tulips, ranunculus, stock, and bupleurum in them. And so that's my plan for this year. But I'm going to talk a little bit about what my plans are for next year when I'm going to have a different setup. But I just thought, you know what? This is not the year to push the ranunculus, especially as my farm store is not going to be done yet. I'm still going to have to peddle to sale them to get people to pre-sell them. I don't have, you know, the big open to the public option that I'm going to have in subsequent years. One thing I do want to share is that I have thought about growing some ranunculus in low tunnels here in Minnesota. I think that it could work most years, but it definitely would not work this year. So my YouPick rows, I've thought about, you know, if next year, if the first three rows, I could put ranunculus in them, even if I spread them out really well. But the problem is in Minnesota right now, there is still so much frost in the ground. The top 6 inches is thawed, but below that, it is frozen solid still. And so, yeah, I could plant into the ground, but that soil is wet and it's heavy and it's going to stay cold for a while. And that is a huge risk for corm rot. So, unless I could put the low tunnels, if I could build some raised beds or even crates to keep the corms from sitting in the wet, cold soil for too long, I think that might be an option in subsequent years. But I don't think you could just add the low tunnel at the time of planting them. I think you almost have to build them in the fall, have them up in the fall, and then plant into them maybe in February or so. Take the tarp off and see. Depends on how much snow we have. But again, there's just a lot of risk with rot. However, the corms that I'm having this year, I do plan on still buying new ones next year. I plan on just trying it and experimenting with some low tunnels in the U-Pick section next year. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I'm not going to divide them up. So I'll just save the corms, pre-sprout them, even though it's like one mother corm and a bunch of side corms. I'm not going to divide them up. I'll just plant them all together, kind of like a dahlia where you wouldn't divide the tubers. You just would plant the whole plant back in, and maybe it's more prolific, more stems. We'll just see how it goes. I don't know. I'm still just constantly experimenting with these and pushing the envelope of growing ranunculus in 4B. There are other flower farmers in Minnesota that are starting to do it. When I first did it a couple of years ago, there were very few that did. And now other people are trying it. And that's fantastic because we can all keep learning together. And again, the greater the demand, if someone sees their cousin an hour away post pictures of ranunculus, now they want ranunculus. So I think when you think about now everyone else is doing it, that's fantastic for me because I feel like the greater our collective offerings, the more people have a demand for locally grown flowers. And if other people are starting to do it too, that's great. So now I want to talk about my plans for next year. So right now I have those two high tunnels that are covered with just one layer of poly. And honestly, they're not ideal. You lift up the sides by hand, and if there's too much snow, you really can't get the sides up, but I have the Dutch doors. I have the zipper ends on the end. They work. They're great, honestly, for tulips. And it's just the ranunculus and some of those higher expensive flowers, they're a little bit of a challenge. However, this year, and I just got the finalization call on Friday that it's done, it's approved. I need to just come in and sign the final paperwork, and we're good to go. And then I can go ahead and order it. But I got a grant from the NRCS for a high tunnel. And this one is going to have two layers of poly with a fan between the layers for insulation. On top of that, I am adding two heaters, one primary and one backup, so that I can guarantee it stays around 40 degrees all winter long. So in that tunnel, we're going to put it up this summer, and then I'll plan on planting in it this fall for flowers next year. And for me, I want a lot of Easter, Mother's Day, and June wedding flowers. That's my goal here, to be able to grow my own and get the stuff that I want. This one tunnel will be the size of four of the high tunnels that I have. So I'll go from two 16 by 50 tunnels to still having those 16 by 50 tunnels, but also having a 34 by 90. And my plan is I'm gonna have a half a row of eucalyptus year round because you can never have too much eucalyptus. And I think that way I can overwinter it, and it's always better year two. And then a couple thousand tulips in a temporary raised bed, hoping that they'll bloom maybe in March if they get enough of a cold snap, which they will. It'll get, it's not gonna freeze solid, but it doesn't have to freeze solid as long as it gets, that chill period. Stagger those tulips in my, that way I can stagger those. And then the other tunnels, they'll bloom in April. And then my low tunnels outside, they'll bloom in May. So hopefully I can have like 3 months of tulips. And then, of course, lots of other flowers, including ranunculus. So my hope would be to plant ranunculus in the fall to do like a full row of that, so the 96-foot row. And ultimately, if I can do that and then stagger some more to pre-sprout, say January 15th, and I would probably still do what I did this time, plant them in trays. I didn't even go through half a bag of potting mix, but just get them so that they just sprout enough and then put them in the ground. And then once they start heating up a little bit, and then I would probably do another row or a half a row around February 15th. So I can stagger my ranunculus that I have blooming. And then that way they'll have that second flush in my other tunnels in May and June. And so I really just want to stretch my season as much as possible and ensure that I have that available at multiple points. So the other thing, and we're just all about ranunculus, but it overlaps with the other spring cool flowers here in Minnesota. But I do really want to try to grow butterfly ranunculus. As of now, I've only done Amandine because a couple other cooler zone ranunculus growers, they're both in six or five that I've followed. They've tried a lot of different variety. They've tried the Italian, they've tried butterfly, they've tried Amandine, and most of them have said they're only doing Amandine from now on. They're like, it's just the most cool hardy. The other ones died. I'm just sticking with Amandine. But if I have a heated tunnel, the option to heat it to guarantee it's not going to drop below. And I don't even think I'll have to keep it at 40, even if we keep it at 30 in there for air temperature, as long as the ground doesn't freeze. And so even if we, if we have a really chilly outside, we don't need to heat it that much. But that way I can try to grow butterfly ranunculus. And butterfly have just a way more delicate and airy look. And I love getting them for wedding work. So if they can perform in my setup, in my high tunnel, I think that's going to be the best option. So final thoughts on ranunculus. They are an incredible crop, but they require so much trial and error to find what works best for you, for your growing conditions. And I've got some episodes coming up talking about crop planning, but that's the other big thing is planning on, make sure you have a plan for them when they are blooming so that they can get sold. But also, if you can manipulate the growing times so that they bloom when you know you're going to have stuff going on, that's important too. And as I'm finding, subscriptions are great. Because I can adjust that time. And YouPicks are great because I can adjust that time based on when I have flowers growing. However, getting into doing wedding work, obviously, way more Mother's Day, Easter flowers as I'm beginning to expand on our own events that we host here at the farm. I don't have as much flexibility around those dates. A bride picks when her shower is going to be, a bride picks when her wedding is going to be. Mother's Day is the same every year. And so now I need to adjust to make sure I have flowers blooming at that time, which is why, like I said, subscriptions are great and YouPicks are great because then you schedule your customers around when you have flowers. But if you start expanding into things like this, you don't have as much flexibility anymore. Now you're gonna grow to make sure you have flowers when people want you to have flowers. So overall, I think overwintering can work, but corm size and soil temperature matter a lot. So really keep that in mind. Pre-sprouting before planting helps, but they will go through a transplant shock. And so if your soil is pretty cool, I'm going to try to just pre-sprout them before I put them directly in the ground, unless I do it in the fall, because otherwise, just guaranteeing that they got those little roots. Remember that customers want variety. I have sold straight bunches of ranunculus in the past and they're just not used to the thin stems and the big heads on the end. I've gotten feedback that they want some greenery or they want something else with it, or they love mixing them with tulips or something like that. But just remember that, sometimes their expectation for what the cost is, they think it should be fuller, when really every single one of those stems is a very premium price, but it can get a little bit hazy there. And then remember, time your sales around weddings, subscriptions, whatever, and then that just helps getting the most value out of your blooms. So, if you are growing ranunculus in a similar climate, I really would love to hear what has worked for you. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next discussion of spring planting strategies. So, thank you. Bloom and grow. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com.